Oh, necked it.
Actually, that gets a kick forwards into the right.
That intentional runner, it's going to get there. Oh, excuse me. Look at this one.
This could be close. This could be really close.
Tuesday, April 9th on the Friendly Banter podcast presented by Banty. Andrew, it is the biggest week of the year. It already has been the biggest week of the year for me. But how are you feeling ahead of the Masters? How are you feeling early into Q2? How are you feeling in general?
Dom, I feel good. It's Masters week. I'm pumped for this weekend for the next 5-6 days here. If not for the Masters, I think I would tell you otherwise. I think I would tell you that I'm a little tired. I got other stuff going on. I got finals coming up. I'm strength pretty thin, but Masters is going to make all of that better. Kyle, you just had an epic weekend with your Utah Huskies. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I mean, pretty sick to just be the best college basketball program in the world. I was really hoping for a double. 2004, 2014, 2024 would have been pretty cool to wrap up both the men's and women's in each of those years. But look, two Final Fours is totally fine. That women's team was not the best team in the country. The men's team was like, most of the things that my friends and I talk about were like, damn, I wish there were 20 more games. Like, I wish that they could go out and just keep playing other college teams.
Yeah, no.
Because it's so fun to just watch them beat the shit out of people. And I hate Purdue. Despise Purdue. So that was a pretty cool experience. I'm hoping that, you know, big month of sports lined up, honestly. We've got this right into the Masters, Frozen Four this weekend. NHL playoffs start pretty much the week after. So the UFL is also a big focal point for me right now, trying to pick a team. So a lot going on, but definitely focused on the Masters this week.
Yeah. It's funny that you hate Purdue. I feel like Purdue's such like a nothing burger, but
yeah, it's like I know like one person who went to Purdue. Very nice girl, awesome person, very smart. But it's just like, because they have one thing, they really like, I feel like they should be better at their one thing. And they care so much about it, and they're so asinine about it. But they'll never be Indiana. Like, they'll never have good football. They're UConn without any national championships, basically. Like, we both have the same one thing, except UConn's really good at it.
Dude, UConn is sick. It would have been awesome if the women won as well. But what was it? Like, I just heard today that they also covered the spread in every game of this entire tournament.
They
won every game by double digits. It's pretty insane.
Their differential last year was gross, like their margin of victory, and they put up 5 more points on top of that this year. Like, their average margin of victory was like 17. They didn't play. I was stressed in this tournament for a total of like 10 minutes. Like, in the entire, from the start of the Big East, really since they lost to Creighton through the national championship, there were like 10 minutes of stress. And even that Creighton game, this is getting way deep into the weeds, but Neil and I were discussing it. If you look at since day one of the season, there's only been one game that was stressful in the last 5 minutes when they lost at Kansas. That was a close game, the 5 minutes left. Seton Hall beat the hell out of them, and Creighton blew the doors off in Omaha. The rest of the games were over with like 15 minutes left all season. It's crazy.
Wild. I feel like it's not, I don't know if I love that. I feel like college basketball I wish there was a little bit more. It's the only thing that you get with the college basketball tournament is, like, crazy endings. But whatever, you can't have it all. All right, tell me what we got in store for us. I guess let's quickly cover this past week of golf, because it was actually an awesome golf weekend, too.
It was, yeah. Both on the men's and women's side, keep the love for both going. Nelly Korda has won her fourth tournament in a row, which is a kind of a mind-blowing feat. The talent at the top end of the women's game is, I don't know how many people realize this, incredible. Like, any one of the other women on tour could pull off this run. Like, Lydia Ko has gone on similar stretches of elite level of play and ball striking and statistical feats, but has never done four in a row. And to make the last one a match play is crazy. Like, she's kind of giving you comp. She can win in any format. She can really do anything at this point. I'm hoping she carries this through. We don't have like a significant women's major until the true summer. So I'm hoping this form keeps running, but it's remarkable to watch. Like, yeah, in my lifetime, I was not alive or really cognizant for peak Tiger. So I've never seen anything like this. It's insane.
Yeah, she's unreal right now. To your point, I really only won't care a ton if it leads to major victories. Yeah. So that again, like, it's still early for the women's season. Let's see how it goes from here, but could not be more thrilled about, especially because I'm not as thrilled about the men's game. Like, it looks like the women's game is going to be at least as interesting, if not way more, this season.
100%. Yeah. I'm nervous, like, to lead into a bit of the men's game there. She has never had this form of dominance. Like, I'm nervous about the majors because everyone I talk to is like, I just have to pick Scotty, right? Like, if I want to guarantee points, I should probably pick Scotty in my tier one. And I can't think of an argument not to do that, because he's gone on runs like this, and the way he's playing is so far above everyone else. Nelly's never, for how good she's been throughout her career and for all the hype she's had, she's never been the killer that she is right now. So I don't know how long this will last, and there's plenty of other killers on the LPGA. I'm pretty sure that someone will rival her shortly. So very excited for that.
Yeah.
And then the men's game this week was also not, I wouldn't say two, certainly non-killers, but two really good storylines. I was pulling for Denny, DC connections there. Got to go to his home club a few years ago. Great place. Shout out to the good people of Argyle. I've been hearing his name started to pop up more, like, in PGA Tour whispers from, like, the true weekly players on tour when they got rid of Greens books, because he's just a lights out putter. He can just do things that people need help on. So he's going to break through. He's due, which I will hint at momentarily also. But it's equally as great for the game to see Akshay win. That was something that was also well overdue, and I think really the tour needed.
Yeah, he's awesome. It was the craziest thing about that whole day was just that, like, he was up by like 6 strokes with like an hour left in the tournament. Like, I thought it was a done deal, and then I looked an hour later and he was in a playoff, and he had to make a putt to get into the playoff.
Yeah,
so it was crazy that, like, Denny just went on that much of a tear on the back nine to force that playoff. I think they were, like, the two of them were, what, 9 shots clear of third place? It's just bananas.
No, incredible.
So that was awesome. And then, yeah, I think both of them are awesome to watch. And, like, we're going to talk about master storylines here in a second. But I'm excited about both of them this week. And it was good to see just the rest of that field kind of all over the place. Obviously, Jordan went, like, full psycho scorecard the entire week.
It's cool.
Which was, like, exactly what I want out of him. So, like, that checks the box I want for him going into Augusta. And then Rory was playing well. A lot to talk about him. It'd been, if not more excited for this week, I'm happy that was here. And I feel good about what we have in store.
I think the Valero, this will be a good lead. In the last 5 years, I'm looking at results history now, so I don't, like, say something that immediately the running back an idiot. Like, since, I don't know, Spieth won this in 2021, like, I feel like there's always some sort of momentum coming out of the Valero. Like, something usually of note happens. It's rarely, like, a total snooze fest that doesn't kick off Masters Week well. Usually there's some sort of intrigue. I don't know if, like, Akshay Bhatia beating Denny McCarthy is going to get the average fan going. But Jordan being a lunatic, Rory playing well, and a playoff finish, I think does do big things to tour. Yeah, looking at the previous winners, I don't really know, but if I'm speaking out of turn there. But, like, Brooks Koepka, second in 2017, Patrick Reed, second in 2016, Jordan Spieth, like, the big names do kind of kick up a little bit at Valero, just in time for the Masters, usually. So, it does a good job of firing me up. To lead into Masters talk, we'll get into our picks. We'll talk about all the pools that we're running and you can participate in. But I want to start with Jordan. I saw one clip from one of his press conferences that he found a sort of calm last week. And as you mentioned, I don't know if you want to get into the details of some of the golf he was playing, but that's concerning. I don't know. I think it tells us a lot about how he operates on a day-to-day basis mentally.
Yeah, I didn't see this clip about him finding calm. I'm kind of curious to learn more. Like, there were two things last week that were just absurd. I guess three, right? He had a totally, like, the least interesting part of his week last week was that he had a hole-in-one, which is so classic Jordan. Then there was, I don't know what you would call the relief that he took. Like, it was a crime against humanity.
Yeah.
That he hit it on the roof of a building intentionally and got free relief. I think he still walked away with, like, a triple bogey.
Yeah.
On that hole. I'm going to have to plug this into this episode. I watched this clip of him talking with Michael Greller, his caddy, like, six times where he like, it was the opposite of Colin. He was so negative about everything. He, like, hit the ball into, I guess, like, the greenside bunker, and Greller was like, oh, that was a good shot, like, bad turnout, like, could be a good lie. He was like, nope, horrible shot,
short
side, awful lie.
Yeah,
it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
So it was a Kyle Porter tweet, so I don't have the full quote, but I'll give Kyle the full quote of his tweet. Today, Jordan Spieth defined last week as, quote, calming, and a, quote, settling down. And then the four pictures that Kyle included are, like, the surrounding events of that relief and his scorecard from round one and two, which, you know, included an ace, as you mentioned, a double on a par five, a ton of bogeys, a ton of birdies. And, yeah, that clip was great. And Michael was like, it's probably sitting up really nice. No, it's definitely gonna be on the downslope. I know it. Like, not good.
So. All right. So, what does that lead you to believe is in store for Mr. Steve?
I'm putting Jordan near none of my entries, whether it be on the official Masters app, fantasy, or the event that we're running. Jordan's name will not come up in any form of conversation, nor in my individual bets. We can lead that right in with who you are looking at. I'm curious. I want you to tell the listener more about how they can participate in our pool, and then share with us who you have on your roster.
Yeah. So for everyone listening, we'll have shared this on social on kind of Tuesday throughout the week, but we're working with Run Your Pool, runyourpool.com, to let everyone basically build their roster for the Masters at the six-player pool. You can pick six players basically from different tiers to your team, and then the lowest stroke total for any of the people participating in the pool will win a 3 years of membership to the Vantage Golf Club. That's currently a $120 value. It gets you access to the private Banty Golf Club community on Banty, as well as a bunch of deals that we've negotiated with some of, like, the coolest brands in golf right now. Also coming up this year is going to be an exclusive event series. So working on our in real life tournaments through Bit to Golf Club. So get your free VGC membership and then a cool piece of swag from our new April collection here in the Banty merch store, one of the April Sunset hoodies. So anyways, cool event. It's actually just like, I love these pools. I think they're like one of the coolest ways to either like bet or just like stay in touch with what's happening throughout the leaderboard, throughout these majors. I'll lean into it there. Before I give away my team, I want to touch on a couple quick storylines. One of them is Scottie Scheffler, because obviously like he is the favorite for this, I mean, for the entire tournament. Maybe I'll do it this way. I don't have him as my tier one pick. He's like, you were talking about people at work today. Like, what is the way to think about Scottie Scheffler this week?
So, like, obviously, this is how gambling works, but statistically, Scottie's going to win. Like, if we dropped 100 marbles, like, and it put Scottie's name on the number of them, he's gonna win, and it's really not that close anyone else, if you want to put an official number on it.
He's what, 4-1 right now?
Yeah, which is
plus 450 maybe.
Preposterous number. Like, preposterous. I think I saw it, like, for the betting context, Dave Portnoy's bet on UConn to win the national championship on March 20th, when they were far and away the best team in the country on pace to win the Big East, was plus 360. Like, they had beaten the shit out of everyone, and they're going to have the easiest path to the national championship. So that's kind of, we're putting Scottie on like UConn men's basketball levels. Got to bring everything back to my week. But of course, it's still golf. Like, Scottie still stinks at putting, and this is a incredibly difficult golf course to putt. He does have the mental stability to win anywhere, but there's still so much unknown that it's. I'm telling everyone, like, look, you'd be foolish not to put Scottie tier one in your pool. But it's more than likely that someone else from the field could win this too. So it's the usual golf shit show. I think Scottie's going to win. Like, I think he's going to win pretty easily. I'm not picking him because I want to have fun. And I don't want to go in with the crowd. And I don't want to miss out on him losing. But I think he's going to win by, like, 3. And it'll be wrapped up by 15. He'll make an eagle on 15 on Sunday, and it'll be the nail in the coffin.
I think that was a great summary of how to think about it. I mean, you separately could think about the gambling side of it, where it's just so many people are going to pick him, so that, like, in order to, whatever, try to achieve any sort of, like, alpha or, like, outsized returns, like, you almost have to not pick him. There's no value picking him. So anyways, there's that. I also am at the point with Scottie where it's not like I don't buy the hype, but he has yet to really declare himself like a major killer. Specifically a Masters killer. So I don't know, like I think he is the favorite to win. I think that's right. But it wouldn't surprise me at all if he is, you know, not even in the top 10. He could just not.
I agree with that.
Play that well. And I think the putting is super real here because
the
fix that he made was switching to the mallet. Like, someone else was telling me, maybe this is listening to No Laying Up, like that mallet putter is good for like stroke in terms of with your path, and that was his issue. But it actually might hurt him at Augusta where the greens are so fast and it's so much more about touch. And that's actually kind of like the trade-off you make when you switch to the mallet. So anyways, that is my logic in not picking him.
Yeah, and I think that's completely fair. And you're right. Like, another great like way to think about him statistically is if he puts together an average putting performance, he's going to win. And if he's not first, it's going to be like 45th. Because his putting is going to be that bad. That it's at Augusta, the good ball striking won't be enough to overcome that. You're completely right about that. And then, yeah, as a mallet guy, there I mash. I take myself out of so many holes. Just miss, like, catching one clean for once and being 10 feet back instead of near the hole. So, look, Scotty's obviously a lot better than all of us, but definitely something to look out for.
All right. I'm glad we did that. Well, then let's use it as a jumping off point to say who we did pick.
Yeah.
With our tier ones, I want to run through just the list because it's not always obvious sort of how people are assigned to these tiers. I think they did do it off official world golf ranking points, but
yeah.
From tier one, our options here are Scotty, Rory, John Rahm, Xander, Brooks Koepka, Hideki, Jordan Spieth, Ludwig, Joaquin Neiman, and Wyndham Clark.
Hey, a lot of good names.
A lot of good names. I think Rory.
Oh my god. Yeah, I saw your tweets. I won't be doing that. I understand why you are. You're still waiting for the year where, I mean, again, you would hate to miss that opportunity.
I don't know.
Do you have the feels, or is it a year where it's like, yeah, I just have to do this every year?
It's more of the latter.
Okay.
I will make this bet until I die. The other thing is, like, I think he has, like, a weird amount of pressure off of him right now.
Yeah.
Scotty is clearly the best player in the world. Like, Rory's not. I think that bodes well for him. I think John Rahm, like, I don't know. I would be, I like, it would really surprise me if he wins this thing.
Yeah, I agree.
So that's sort of my thing, is I think they are the three far and away best players in the world. I think John Rahm is off in this weird whiz phase that I think it has him in, like, a mental pretzel right now. And I think Scotty almost has, like, too much pressure on him.
Yeah.
So I think that frees up Rory a little bit. And then from there, it's like, between him and Brooks. And I don't think Brooks is, you know, this is, like, famous last words for Brooks, though. I don't think he's in great form right now. Who knows if that's relevant at all. But it's not the craziest time, I think, to be picking Rory. Because he is playing a little bit better. He's, like, off fresh off this, whatever, swing change with Butch Harmon, where he's appeared to have solved the less miss.
Yeah.
So I do, you know, I'm clearly talking myself into it, but here's where we're at.
Completely agree. I do think it is a good spot for him to be in. There is none of that weight. Rahm, I just want to quickly talk about those two other tier one options you mentioned and then flag the one you missed. Rahm pissed off concerns me. Like, my thought is that it's going to be a Scotty Rahm head to head. He's clearly so rattled by all that Liv is taken away from his legacy. Like, it does seem to be getting at him that people are, like, really asking about this and ignoring him in a lot of these conversations. I don't think he regrets his decision, especially with the third kid. Another $300 million would be really cool for that. But he is showing a lot of frustration with the media pegging him about not being on the PGA Tour. So him pissed off, I think, could really be awesome theater, him against Scotty. Brooks, I feel like, obviously, Brooks only cares about four tournaments, but it is usually the case that he picks up his play in the 2 to 3 weeks before. I mean, 2019, I think he might have sucked leading into the Masters where he finished second. But usually when he wins a major, there's, like, indications that, like, he's coming. So I'm not...
He also...
Like, I don't want to say it out loud, but I'm not worried.
He has less of a point to prove than he did last year, which I think is another thing that really motivates him. Like, he passed Rory on the majors wins. The Liv stuff has settled down, where, like, he really doesn't, like, get that much shit now for going to Liv. He's clearly did what he... Like, he actually looks great right now in terms of, like, the media perspective. Like, he kind of did everything he set out to do.
Yeah.
I certainly think he wants to win this tournament.
Of course.
As much as anyone, but...
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah, this is the big one. He said it in the full swing, like, this is the one he leaves a spot for. But not really worried. You missed a tier one guy to look out for. I've been teasing it for months. He's shown glimmers. Like, Hideki's coming. Like, it's gonna happen. Full transparency, part of this is I'm picking, it's my Rory. Like, if I don't pick Hideki and he does what I think he might do, I hate myself and I'm like a fraud to all the people who know me. So he's my tier one pick. He's looked great this year. Like, the putting has been average to even like good at times, and the ball striking has been very strong. He's put up a number of good performances throughout 20. He's got 3 top tens. Like, he's got a freaking win. Like, since Phoenix, so T22 at the WM, a win, T12, T6, T7. All the signs are there, and I don't want to miss out. And I'm gonna be thrilled to be deep in Twitter with my Japanese faithful.
I like that. I think that's a good pick. He would have been my next up
there.
Anything you feel like mentioning? I don't need to for Xander, Ronin, Jorin, Ludwig, Joaquin, Wyndham Clark.
Other than the excitement surrounding that pairing of who is it? Ludwig Spieth?
Thahith? Or no?
That might be. I tweeted something about it.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah, other than the pairing of Spieth, Ludwig, Thigala being the coolest thing ever, like, don't need to feel the need to mention any of those.
Okay.
But I do have Thigala later on.
With that, I think I do as well, actually. Little teaser there. Tier 2, our options here are Victor, Will Zalatoris, Patrick Cantlay, Cam Smith, Justin Thomas, Dustin Johnson, Bryson, Mackie Patrick, Tony Fino, and Shane Lowry.
Who do you got? My biggest takeaway looking at the option 2 list here is, how about it sucks? Like, how big the drop-off from Tier 1 to Tier 2 is. No one in that list jumps out at me. Like, I couldn't see any of them winning. Whereas in tier 3 and 4, I could.
That's interesting. I agree with that take.
Which is, it's frustrating. I'm taking Smith because if at any point you expect someone to win from nowhere, just with pure grit and short game magnificence, it's him. So he's my tier 2 pick, but I'm not really thinking that anyone in tier 2 is going to make that leap.
Yeah. I like Cam Smith in this spot. I actually was looking at him. I am going to take Will Zalatoris. I mean, honestly, like, if there's one person in this tier that I think could win, I think it is him. Again, like, we talked about this with him. I think there's like a high chance that he misses the cut.
Yeah.
I would actually say probably greater than 50%.
I agree.
But then I think there's like a 45% chance he's like top 5.
Yeah.
So, whatever. I just think it's worth throwing out a couple sprinkles on him.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, but yeah, no one else in this group really moves the needle for me. Like, Victor, everyone has said this already, but like, who the hell knows where he's at?
Seems like he's cooked, mentally.
Cooked, yeah, I think cooked is right. All right, let's keep it moving. Tier 3. Here our choices are Colin Morikawa, Tommy Fleetwood, Cam Young, Max Homa, Sahith Tagala, Sam Burns, Jason Day, Brian Harman, Tyrrell Hatton, and Russell Henley. It sounds like we both have Sahith here.
Yeah, and again, feels like there's a few more choices, but Sahith feels like the most obvious. This seems like a no-brainer.
I think he's definitely in the best form.
Yeah, you can see Brian Harman. But
I don't think this is a good course for Brian Harman, right?
Everyone, I can't imagine that it is.
Yeah. The only thing with Sahith is like the experience. I think Masters is the place where
you really need it.
It helps to know your way around. But yeah, again, not a really strong list. Max has kind of fallen off a little bit, I feel like, in the last month.
Agreed.
So would have loved to pick him, but I'm also super jazzed up to see how Sahith does here.
Yeah, I don't think this is a deep Max aside. I don't think Max's Masters time will ever come. where, like, I can see him winning a U.S. Open and PGA. I don't think the Masters is going to be Max's place, unfortunately.
I think that's fair. I mean, he's already 32, 33.
Yeah. I would take, a very heavily minus bet against that, but not to rain on Max.
Yeah, what's the league says?
Yeah.
Tier 4, here our options are Minwoo, Patrick Reed, Corey Connors, Siwoo Kim, Sung Jae-in, Akshay Bhatia, Adam Scott, Joo Young Kim, Der Heuvel, Garcia, and Ricky Fowler.
I don't want to, make any statements about how these groups were made, but it does seem that all the Koreans are in Tier 4. I don't know if I missed any.
I was reading them off, and I was like, wow, I think I just said... I just said ended in M.
was Tom in that one too? Or was he not included?
He was not included there.
Okay, so he's the only one missing of like the major PGA Tour professionals.
Is he not in this at all?
Yeah, I don't think he was. I would expect him to be tier 2. But he's had a pretty bad year so far.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But anyway, weird grouping. I've seen a few things about Sungjae's Masters performances. I'm not going to take him, but I was intrigued by a few tweets I saw. I'm going to go experience. I'm going to go weird. I've seen a lot of good reels from Liv.
Sergio?
No, I would never take Sergio. That's my line in the same. Patrick seems to be having a normal year on Liv. He's playing well. He's producing, he's the star of some, really informative golf game content for the Liv Reels and TikTok. He did have one about, what golf ball the average amateur should play that's completely incorrect and bullshit. But he saw, I think he could win. I genuinely think he could go out there and win this.
Wow. I have not... I'm clearly on a different algorithm than you because I'm not seeing that content.
Fair.
And I'm not upset about it. I think initially nervous that you're saying that. I hope that degree doesn't win.
No, doesn't either, but I can see it.
I took Corey Connors here. I think just kind of a safe play. It would surprise me if he doesn't find himself in the mix at some point in the weekend here.
Yeah.
He's just a really steady player and someone I think, you'd want on your team or don't expect him to win for sure, but could definitely see him sneaking his way into the top 10.
I like that. I want to throw in one more Sungjae stat. He has finished inside the top 16 in 3 of his 4 Masters starts. There's something there. I'm going to switch that pick, honestly. But I won't.
That's pretty good. It's pretty good. Also, I was going to mention Akshay. You know what? I thought about him here, except for the fact that he, blew out his shoulder with that fist pump. I feel like he might be healing still.
So. Yeah, I don't think he also lefties at Augusta just scare me. I don't know. Bubba seems like an anomaly. In
Phil, pop. Right? Because I was thinking the same thing with Brian Harmon, but
maybe it's just. I don't like Brian Harmon and Akshay. Maybe they shouldn't scare me. That's one of the cooler things you can do. Mount Rushmore of awesome things that athletes can do. Putting the net of your national championship in your hat and then wearing your hat backwards is one. Hurting yourself celebrating is two. That's the coolest thing ever. That's so rock star. I love that shit.
I think it is cool. I think it's a little embarrassing. But I respect it.
This is a guy who you cannot love winning any more than hurting yourself celebrating. But don't think he's gonna do well. I hinted at this guy in my tier 5. If you want to give us off the options, I think the people might know where I'm headed.
I think they do, and he is the first name. Denny McCarthy, Justin Rose, Tiger Woods, Chris Kirk, Harris English, Byung Hun. We'll just say Ben On, Adrian Meronk, Phil Mickelson, Keegan. And Nikolai Højgaard.
Okay, so there's one more, I guess. There was one tier 5 Korean. Part of it is that I had a real tough time, looking at this one. I think there's a lot of intriguing names. Chris Kirk, obviously, with a win this year. I don't know. There's just good juju. I don't think he hasn't really followed up anything there. Harris has had a pretty average year so far. Nothing like impeccable. Nothing like the form we've seen him in previous years. I just love Denny putting. I think his flat stick, I think he's feeling momentum. Confidence is definitely a big thing for him. I just like to ride the high coming to Augusta. I said that when we talked about what the Valero does in general. But I'm really excited to watch Denny play.
I think that's by far the best pick out of his tier. It's not the one I made, but I think that's right. He's really, I think, well suited to perform well this week. My pick is gonna be Eldrick Woods.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine.
I don't see why not. It doesn't hurt anybody to pick him here. I'm not you know, causing any trouble. And I'm hearing the whispers that he looks awesome right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we'll see. I don't have much else to add, but Sunday Red debuted at Augusta. I'm nothing if not intrigued.
That's fair. And again, one of those picks to let you gotta do it. Everything out there is saying like looks focused, looks healthy. I don't know if this is like friendly banter after dark, but he, you know, very interesting.
Not having sex.
Yeah, like I don't know why that came out. I don't know what the purpose that. Like, I don't know why he shared that with anybody.
I heard that was fake news. That was just like
a random thing,
just like a random report that was not based in fact. But
okay, I mean, if it
aired a legend.
If he wins, and like he comes out and says, like, yeah, the baby population of this country is gonna fall off a cliff.
Yeah, dude, every dude like going to play on the weekend is okay. Sorry, dude.
Not this week. I got the member guests. But yeah, I hope so. It'd be cool to see him succeed. Tier six. I'm gonna go deep, but if you want to rattle off the names,
there are too many for this one. Let's just say this is everyone else playing for the most part. But yeah, go ahead.
The KPI killer. The real estate regality. The professional amateur himself coming off a big win on the amateur circuit, getting back within the top 10 of the world amateur golf rankings. Stuart Hagestad. This is my, I can't miss out on the amateur. And Stu is my guy, like my fucking idol. So I think he's certainly going to make the cut. I don't know what's going to happen after that, but Stu is my tier 6 pick.
I like that pick. Now you're making me sad that I didn't pick an amateur. Actually, I was going to ask you, I was going to wrap up with an amateur prediction here. I went with Jake Knapp here. I think just like again, there's not that many names on this tier 6 that pop out to me. He seems to be like really well adjusted, and just in terms of like not going to get blown away by like the pressure of being at Augusta.
Yeah,
really steady player, strikes like the shit out of the ball. So I think he can do well, and I would like to see him do well. So he's gonna make that sixth spot on my bench.
That's my thing for Stu too. Is like this guy's played in everything. Like I don't think anything people who don't know the game maybe will see like, oh, amateur, he's gonna be rattled. Like, no, he's played in every major tournament that you can play in outside of the PGA. So, and the Ryder Cup, but you know, he's racked up the Walker Cup, the US Open. So, this might be my only individual bet. Like $5 for Stu to win. Just like gift DraftKings $5, but I hate to miss it.
All right, well, that's a good way to segue into anything else that you at least are, you know, putting money on or are just keeping an eye on. Specifically, let's talk about any amateurs. I mean, it's a good amateur field, is what I was just going to say, which is awesome.
It always is, and there's not that many, but like the group that we do have is studded. I don't know a ton about any of them outside of Stu. Is Glanfrick the like incredibly tall chap? Yeah, I just looked it up. He's 6'8".
Yes.
This guy's a freak.
So he just beat Nick Dunlap last weekend, I think in that like Georgia Cup or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which looks awesome, by the way.
Super cool. So I like, if nothing else about like watching his performance, watching him strike a golf ball is awesome. So I'm really excited to watch that. Don't know anything about really any of the other amateurs. De La Fuente, don't know anything about. Jasper Stubbs, I'm assuming you won the Asia Pacific, but I don't know anything about him. And then Neil Shipley is the USAM runner-up. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Seems like a great crew, but not a ton of knowledge on my side.
Most interested in, I think, Nick Dunlop and Christo Lampert. If that's what you say, yeah. Christo. Anyways, I think it'll be good to see them. I predict that one amateur will finish in the top 10.
Top 10. Wow. Okay. Realistically, I disagree. I think that the top 10 is so top heavy right now. But I like that bet a lot. I like that play.
All right. Anything else?
Hideki's going to win. Stu's going to make the cut. And Rory is not even going to be a conversation piece.
Dude, that's fucked up.
And I hope I get crucified. I hope I get absolutely lit up on Sunday evening for that. I hope I'm dead wrong. But that's my thought.
All right. All right, well, cool. This will go out tomorrow, Wednesday. I think one thing about the Masters, too, is it's such a good content week.
Mm-hmm.
So you will see me checking in on the socials. I'll be all over X all week. I actually had a bachelor party this weekend, so
oh, yeah.
I imagine I'll be at the bar getting some takes off.
Hell yeah.
If I know anything about myself. So hit me up on excellent friendly banter. And we'll probably have to do a bit of a deep dive recap early next week, but I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome. Well, I am as well, and enjoy the beverages, enjoy the time.
Alright. Cheers.
Cheers. Top. Ooh, la, 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 la. Chip, puck, you know what's the big whoop? When I play my game, and then I make my mama proud. Woo. Smash, bang, you gotta hit the ball far. Then the crowd goes, woo. Then you hear the ooh, la, 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 la. Treat, treat. I want my birdies all day long. Let the bogeys go. It's a hey.